Blog Talk Radio.
But just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judge just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They try to change time, sun, day, in the night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say y'all son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelites. Now you know they don't know about Black Plight.
Let's see what we can learn here. And we're going to see if this is the truth, because if it is the truth, it's consistent with the words of the Most High. Because that's how we learn what truth is.
Hallelujah. All praises to the mighty Yah, the great King and the great Elohim, and the Elohim of our fathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We give all glory and honor and praise unto the mighty Yahweh this night, this evening, for being able to allow us to magnify his holy and righteous name here on the Black Plight Radio Show. Shalom and welcome to the Black Plight Radio Show. I'm your host, Isha Yisrael. I'm the Moray of the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street. We will be able to bring you the words of Yah this evening and magnify his holy name. And it is our honor to do so. And tonight we will be speaking about the great lie that has gone out among our people, and that is the resurrection of Christ. Did he rise, or was it all lies? And we will definitely seek out the truth of this matter this evening here on the Black Plight Radio Show. Before we get into this amazing topic, I'm going to play a song by Azariah Yisrael entitled Blasphemy.
Was given to the sun from the judge, and the earth to the heavens up above. Unto him it must come if you want to reach the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is three in one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess when it's done. He was here when it begun. That sound like blasphemy. If you listen real close, that sound like blasphemy. All power was given to the sun from the judge, and the earth to the heavens up above. Unto him it must come if you want to reach the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is three in one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess when it's done. He was here when it begun. That sound like blasphemy. If you listen real close, that sound like blasphemy. Let me start off by giving praises to the Creator, whose name alone is Yah, the only one here that can save ya. Open the book and rip out the pages if you don't like it, but I'ma prove today who you praising is nothing righteous. Flip to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, highlight verse 8, then go and show that to your pastor. It says, I am Yah, that is my name, in my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to a graven image. But let's see what y'all Savior mentions. Matthew 28 and 18, is it the same position? He said all power was given to him in heaven and earth. Which do you believe, the second, the first? First is speaking the creator, a creature that true and living Elohim, a mythological God created by Grecians. If you don't know what the mark of the beast is, it ain't the RFID chip, it's what you get from following Jesus. He said himself he wasn't God and no one ever seen him. John 1:18, man, you better read it. But people see Christ all the time. If you believe what you just read, how is he a part of God? All power was given to the Son, from the judge in the earth to the heavens up above. Unto him it must come. If you want to reach the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is three in one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess when it's done. He was here when it begun. That sound like blasphemy. That sound like blasphemy. That sound like blasphemy. If you listen real close, that sound like blasphemy. All power was given to the Son, from the judge in the earth to the heavens up above. Unto him it must come. If you wanna reach the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is three in one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess when it's done. He was here when it begun. That sound like blasphemy. That sound like blasphemy. If you listen real close, that sound like blasphemy. Fear you not, neither be afraid. He already declared from that time frame. Let me tell you something interesting about Yah. It's one thing he don't know, that's another God. Isaiah 44 proclaims, those that make graven images of vain and soon will be put to shame. Take that crucifix off your chain, throw the New Testament in the flames. That's what got us kicked out of our homes, but you still worshiping wood and stone. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 and 68 applies to no other people and let you know that you are Hebrew. That's why they hate the fact we are chosen. They wanted to create a book where the world was promised salvation, replacing Israel with Gentiles and David with Christ. But Paul, the lost and the way with behind and was named to be found in the pages of books inspired by Satan. Ezekiel 20 and 25 states the reason the bad law said he gave us hate. Your father and mother, your wife and your children, your brothers and sisters, that you cannot be Christ's disciple. Luke 14 and 25 writings go to a portion of the Bible. Quit giving y'all praise to an idol. Can't nobody die for your sins. If he the Messiah that's in here to save you, then why you still captive here in this land? He said several times that he's only a man. No, you can't put the crown on his head. Many days will abide without a king. Hosea's land, probably seek God weed in the land. Read Isaiah 43 verse 10. No Elohim for before him, or came after no savior beside the creator. I wonder what they gon' say then. All power was given to the Son, from the judge in the earth to the heavens up above. Unto him it must come. If you wanna reach the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is three in one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess when it's done. He was here when it begun. That sound like blasphemy. That sound like blasphemy. Now grip your Glock, lick a shot, and go on blasphemy.
Hallelujah. All praises to the mighty Yahweh. Once again, welcome to the Black Plaque Radio Show. I'm your host, Moray Yisha Yisrael. You were just listening to Cypher, Azariah Cypher, Yisrael, with his song Blasphemy. It's a very befitting song for what we're about to embark on this evening. As we all might be aware of, this coming first day of the week, commonly known as Sunday, many people in this country that we, the children of Israel, the so-called African American, are in captivity in. We are in captivity here in this land. We are descendants of captives who were freed from forced slave labor, but never allowed to return home to the place in where we were removed from. We have not received reparations, restitution, repatriation, or any salvation. But we are here still receiving oppression. And on Sunday, the world wants you to forget what the Europeans did to you and I. They want you to forget that, as they have been promoting for weeks and pumping you up with candy and having sales so you could buy your best outfit and making sure you're spiffy and looking nice so you get up real early so you can have service when the sun is rising. Call it sunrise service. Now, this is all because they are saying that this is the time when the so-called Christ of the New Testament rose from his grave. Well, we of the house of Yisrael are not teachers of lies, and we do not support any doctrines of lies, but we are teachers of the truth, and we support all doctrines of truth, and we know that the truth come from Yah. Yah's word is the truth, and there is no other Elohim beside him. So what we will embark on right now is to bring you the truth. Before you go to sunrise service, you might want to listen. So if you have any family members, any friends, even your pastors, your bishops, your so-called reverends, have them call 323-443-7418. Tell them to log on to the blogtalkradio.com/House of Israel ATL and listen to the Black Plight Radio Show. Because we're about to raise a question. Did Christ rise? Did he rise? We'll know if he rose because we're going to see if he is a man of truth. So first, let's see what testimonies witness to Christ being a person of truth. If you go with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, and in the book of Hebrews, we'll be going to the 13th chapter and begin reading at the 8th verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It reads, JC, the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, this says JC is the same yesterday, today, and forever, meaning he doesn't change. He doesn't lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, let's see how he was yesterday. But before we see that, let's see what the Holy Scriptures say about Yahweh. Go to the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse. It reads, for I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Yaakov are not consumed. Hallelujah. And we see, it says here that Yahweh does not change. Yahweh does not change. So, JC doesn't change, and Yahweh doesn't change. Then we should never encounter the Christ of the New Testament, nor Yahweh contradicting one another. Since it says in Hebrews that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and since Yahweh said that he does not change, and if the people that teach the word of the New Testament are right, if the New Testament truly is the word of the Creator sent by his Son, then they should never contradict one another. They should never have any disagreements or say anything contrary. So let's see. Let's look and see. How do we even know if the Christ of the New Testament is someone we should take heed to and listen to? If you think that he's a God, then he should always tell the truth and we should never find a lie in him. If you think that he was a prophet, then he should have spoke in the name of the Most High, and what he said should have came to pass. Because it says in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, in the 17th verse, what does it read there? It reads,
"And Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren, like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other deities, even that prophet shall die."
Now let's look at this here. It says that if a prophet speaks in the name of the Almighty, and he has not been commanded to speak this word, then he shall die. Now, every Christian can testify to the fact it is written that the Christ of the New Testament has died. But we have been told that he rose and he's not dead anymore. But Yah said, if you're a prophet and you speak against him, you shall die. Now, we need to examine that and see if Christ died because of his false prophecy or if he really died for a sign. Keep reading.
"And if you say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh have not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of Yah, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh have not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him."
So we should not be afraid of anyone that comes in the name of Yah or in other deities, and they speak a word, and it does not come to pass. If a prophet comes to you and says that the day begins at night, and you go and you check it out and you see that a day begins in the morning because the word of Yah has confirmed that a day begins in the morning, you won't listen to that false prophet. If a prophet comes to you and says that a year ends in the seventh month of our year, and you go and you confirm it with the words of Yah, and it says the seventh month is the year's end, then that is what has came to pass. If you go and a prophet tells you that Christ rose on the third day, and when you seek it out, and it happens to be a bold-faced lie, then you know you're not going to be afraid of that prophet. So if we have so-called reverence standing up on Sunday telling you to fear JC and to stand in awe of him, then let's make sure there's somebody to be reverent and the word they speak is something to take heed of and the person they speak of is somebody to worship. Go to the book of Psalms, the 111th division, and we'll see if the people on Sunday that call themselves reverend even deserve of the title. Because it said if they speak and it doesn't come to pass, then you shall not be afraid of them. You shall not fear them at all. So you definitely shouldn't revere them. Go to Psalms 111 and read, beginning in the 7th verse.
"The works of his hand are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He have commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name.
So this is talking about Yahweh. Christ didn't make a covenant with anybody. He didn't come to Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. But Yahweh made these covenants with the children of Israel, which Christ himself testified in Matthew 5:17, that you cannot break this word. And holy and reverend is the name of Yah. Not reverend is your preacher. No one in the scriptures at any place in the scriptures, New or Old Testament, is called reverend except Yah. So the men and women that you will go give hundreds and thousands of dollars to this Sunday, they are going by a name of reverend, and they are speaking in the name of a false title, something that was never given to any man in the scriptures. But it was only given to Yah. Holy and reverend is Yahweh. Not reverend is this man you call Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, who will teach you corrupted, convoluted doctrines this Sunday. So holy and reverend is Yah. Now, if they are truly prophets, then they should be speaking a word that has came to pass. But let's lay a couple of more foundational scriptures and look in the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, the 19th verse. In Numbers 23, verse 19.
Elohim is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent.
Uh-huh.
Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
So this is Yah. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Have he spoken, and shall he not do it? Yah says, everything Yah says, it comes to pass. One more scripture before we go into the New Testament. You'll find in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. If we go there to Isaiah 55, and I believe the verse we want to read, Verse 8.
For my thoughts.
No, not verse 8. I'm sorry. Not verse 8. Verse 8. Excuse me. Verse 8 to verse 11. Go ahead.
It reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper
the word
in the things
of Yah." Yes, that's the word of Yah. It shall not return void. It shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. It shall come down as the rain and give food to those that sow. Because Yah's word gives life, and it comes into fruition. Yah's word is truth. Yahweh said that if you go against his commandments, Israel, that you will be led into a land that you have not known. And there you will be sold as bond men and bond women. And no man shall redeem you. Yah said that if we do not keep his covenants, that we would be given a yoke of iron upon our necks, and forced into slavery. He said that we will be oppressed. He said that if we do not heed to his covenants, that we would die of numerous amounts of diseases and viruses. He said you will be stricken with arthritis, swelling, and inflammation of the joints. Yah said that your father would leave you. Yah said that your mother would leave you. And all the things that Yah has said has came to pass. Now, our people are about to go to church on Sunday and worship something that they don't even know about, but nevertheless, they're going to be told that this person rose from the grave. Let's see what the record states. If you will, go to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, and begin reading at the 39th verse, or 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38.
It reads, "Then certain men of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah."
Now look, it says that the only sign that you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now let's see what that sign is.
"For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth."
Mm-hmm. This is a prophecy given by Christ, that as the Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man, as he regarded himself as, shall be in the earth 3 days and three nights. We know that 3 days and three nights means three light periods and three dark periods. That's what 3 days and three nights mean. So if this is the truth, then we should find where this happened, since it's supposed to be written in the New Testament about Christ dying and rising. So as today amongst the heathen and Christian world is called Good Friday, many people understand that this is called Good Friday because this is the day supposedly when Christ was crucified. I don't know why that's good, but according to the Christian religion, it's Good Friday, and apparently because this is the day that, as the preachers like to wail and holler, the law was nailed to the cross on this day. So for these people that want to follow after evil, it's good that the law, in their eyes, was nailed to the cross on Friday. And now you have been redeemed from your sins. You supposedly were saved this day from your sins because the sacrifice took place, a sacrifice in which Yahweh never sanctioned in his holy scriptures. Yahweh never said that a man can die for your sins. But nevertheless, they teach that this man died for you and I and redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, if we were redeemed from the curse of the law, why are we suffering the curse of the law today, which is 400 years of slavery, which is a national amnesia? Why are we suffering these curses today if the curse of the law has been paid? Because curses is every man who hangs on a tree, right? So Therefore, why did this death of this Christ not remove these judgments? But nevertheless, he said 3 days and three nights. And he said that that's how you'll know that there's a sign that he is true. So let's see if anything of this book called the New Testament is true. Look in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, the first verse. And before we even read Matthew 28, put your finger there on Matthew 28. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter, in verse 15. And we'll see what it says here. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, it reads,
"One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established."
And I'm rising up against Christ in the doctrine today, and I am saying that they have lied to us. The book is lying to us. The preachers are lying to us. Everybody is lying when they support this doctrine. Christ did not rise after 3 days and three nights. And since he didn't rise after 3 days and three nights, he didn't rise at all. And nor is the New Testament a book of truth. Now let's see if I have any witnesses to support my claim. Matthew the 28th chapter, start reading in the first verse.
It reads, "In the end of the Shabbat, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre."
And now, behold, I want us to be very diligent in what we're reading, so let's take our time and look what it says. It said, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre." Now, see, we have a Mary Magdalene and another Mary. Keep reading.
"And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel..."
There's an earthquake? Let's note that also. The earthquake took place. There was just a 7.5 earthquake in Mexico the other day, and it has been reported here in the United States. Now, that's because it's a very high magnitude earthquake, 7.5 on the Richter scale, felt for miles and miles and miles. There's earthquakes that are felt for very long distances. "And behold, there was a great," like the earthquake that happened in Haiti, a great earthquake flattened the whole city. An earthquake just happened in Japan, a great earthquake. An earthquake just took place, I believe, in Chile, South America, a great earthquake. Now, these are great earthquakes that have been reported throughout the world. And everybody that was in the epicenter of these earthquakes, if they survived, can tell you there was a great earthquake, and everybody would have the same exact claim that, yes, this day there was an earthquake. So we see that there was a great earthquake.
"And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it."
And an angel sat on the stone and rolled back the stone. These are some magnifying events that are taking place in front of the eyes of Mary and Mary Magdalene. "And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards," there was guards there, "shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman,
Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek J.C., which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
Now, you see, this is the angel that spoke to them. The angel spoke to them and told them, look, he's gone. He's risen. Now, let's point out a couple of things besides what we've already pointed out. It said, now, after the Sabbath, as the first day began to dawn, what does that let us know? The Christ of the New Testament died in the Friday afternoon. He was buried Friday evening. He didn't spend one day in the earth on Friday. He was buried at the end of the day. So you got Friday night. Then it says this happened after the Sabbath. So you have the Sabbath day. Then you had the Sabbath night. So how many days do we have? We have one day. How many nights? We have two nights. But it says, as the first day of the week began to dawn, so it was, he wasn't there. And it was early, early in the morning. So you know he wasn't there 2 days, nor was he there 3 days. And he definitely wasn't there 3 nights. You just can't get that from that equation. We all do math, at least enough to count your money. If somebody tells you, give me $3.30, and they give you, and you give them $3.27, they're going to stop you and say, look, that's 27 cents. 1, 2, 3. You're missing 3 cents. Well, we're missing 3 days. We're not seeing that. But let's move on and see if we can establish this event out of the mouth of a second witness. I'm saying that this didn't happen. Christ didn't rise when he said he would, nor is this book a book of truth, and nor is this book something we should take heed to because it is lying. So let's look in the book of Mark now. The book of Mark, the 16th chapter. And start reading at the first verse.
And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salmon, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him.
So far we have the same thing going on in the book of Mark. Mary and Mary Magdalene came. Keep reading.
And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came up unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun.
So it's another confirmation of what time it was. It was obviously the beginning of the first day of the week. So that means if he died Friday afternoon, was buried Friday evening, was in the ground for only the night of the sixth day of the Sabbath and the night of the Sabbath, we only have one day and two nights. So we're here in verse 3 now.
And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?
Now, what are they talking about? The other book said that there was a great earthquake. They over here wonder who's going to roll it away. But Matthew said it was a great earthquake. Why don't they know about this earthquake? It's supposed to be the same people, too. But they don't know about earthquake. Keep reading.
And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side.
Now, what is this about? What is this about? Where's the guards? The stone was rolled away already, and they just saw a young man sitting inside. Where did the earthquake come from? Where was the angel whose face was like lightning and clothes was of linen and white? And where were the guards that shook for fear? Where are all these things? And what happened to the great earthquake? Keep reading.
Clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye see J.C. of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold,
now,
the place where they laid him.
Now, what is this about? What is this going on here? They saying the same thing here, but, I mean, that man said what the other man said, but he's no face, no angel descending from heaven, no great earthquake rolling away the stone, no guards. How does that happen? And then they walk in and see somebody sitting in there. What is going on that these great events have not happened the same way? It's talking about Mary and Mary Magdalene saw this. So they must have been the ones that reported it to them, but they're not reporting the same thing. Either this actually didn't happen, or they got a bunch of liars going on, and they don't know how it happened. But again, one thing it is confirming is that this wasn't 3 days and three nights. And another thing is confirming is that one Mary saw an angel, or another Mary didn't. Somebody's lying, but nobody's telling the truth. I know that. Because Christ, he gone, and it hasn't been three nights yet. And it surely hasn't been 3 days. But yet, you have them saying he's gone. He rose up. He's not here. Well, where is he? Maybe they were at the wrong grave site. I don't know. But we're not getting a consistent story here. But surely there's some consistency somewhere. Let's see what it says in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter, the first verse. Maybe in the book of Luke, it'll fix everything. Maybe the book of Luke will let us know that there was an earthquake and the guards did shake and they did see an angel with the face of lightning. And maybe Mark just forgot to write that. But let's see what Luke says.
It reads
24, verse 1.
Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them.
Now, let's stop there. We see that, again, this is the early part of the first day of the week. So it's like a daybreak. And we know that this is not 3 days and three nights later. Because surely, if it was 3 days and three nights later, how would that have looked? You got Friday night, one night. Sabbath day, one day. Sabbath night, the night of the Sabbath, two nights. First day of the week, 2 days. Sunday night, three nights. Monday, 3 days. So then after that, he should be rising up, right? So like Monday evening. But we're here on a Sunday, and the day hasn't even came in yet. And they're getting there, and you got people coming, and what does it say in verse 2?
And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre.
Now, the stone is rolled away from the sepulchre. Mark said they asked, how are we going to roll it away? And Matthew, he said it was a great earthquake with an angel descending from heaven, and he rolled it away, and the guards shook. But here, they just found the stone rolled away, and then?
And they entered in, and they found not the body of their master, J.C.
Why wasn't nobody sitting in the sepulchre like it said in Mark? Isn't that what Mark said? They found a man sitting in the sepulchre? Isn't that what he said? I hope I'm not misquoting, but yes, that's what it says in Mark 16 and 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But Luke says they went in and did not find the body. And it happened as they were. Go ahead. Verse 4.
And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout.
They were confused
behold,
about this. They was confused. You see that? Now, how are they confused? But the other people just looked up and they saw somebody. But go ahead. Behold,
two men stood by them in shining garments.
Where did these guys come from? Who are these two guys? Why didn't they see two guys with Matthew? Matthew didn't write anything about two guys. He didn't say nothing about two men. He said you had a great earthquake. And how do you miss a great earthquake? And then the angel descended from heaven. And how do you miss an angel descending from heaven and rolled away the stone? How do you miss all that? And then the guards, which I haven't seen guards in the story of Mark or Luke, but the guards shook with fear. But in Mark, they just didn't know how they were going to roll it away. But they look, and then all of a sudden it was rolled away. They walk in, and they see this young guy sitting on the right side. And he told them that JC was gone. In Luke, they don't even know how they're going to roll it away. No, they found that it was already rolled away. And then they walked in. They didn't see nobody sitting in the tomb. But all of a sudden, two people stood by them in shining garments. Verse 5.
And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying,
now hold on.
The son of...
He said that he's not here, and they saw them, and they bowed their faces. We didn't read about Mary and the other Mary bowing their faces to anybody and were being afraid. None of that. But here you have that happening here. You have that happening here. This is a third variation of one event. This is something that a detective in a police department would already have dismissed as not possible. If a detective of a police department who is trained, who is halfway decent, was given this evidence as fulfilling his word, as the preacher's telling you the truth, this detective would look at this and say, the stories are not corroborating. You don't have corroborating testimonies. They're not consistent with each other. First off, Christ said 3 days and three nights. And every testimony we have gone to about the rising of Christ has happened before even the second day, and even before the third night, at least. Then Mark has something different than Matthew, and Matthew has something different than Luke, and Luke has something different than Mark, and Mark has something different than Matthew. It's telling us different things. I could understand if they all had a great earthquake and saw an angel and forgot about the guards. I could understand that, but they don't forget about just the guards. They forget about the great earthquake and the angel. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were supposed to have seen this with their own eyes. So they were obviously the ones that told the people this story that has been recorded. But either you telling me that they told four people four different things, or of these books are liars, and the so-called doctors of divinity, the so-called reverends, and the preachers and ministers that teach this malarkey have no skills of observation. Something is amiss here when we don't see any consistency in what is being said. Now, let's see if John can play cleanup, you know, come and just clean up the whole mess, because Isha, you just tripping. You don't know what you're talking about. I know that's what many are people the same. They just trying to find some reasons. But let's see. John,
he might be able to clean this up. The book of John, St. John, might be able to clean up what we have going on here. Maybe he will let us know that all these things occurred and we just didn't have it all. We had to wait to the last gospel. And it's going to bring it all home and bring it together. And we're going to see the consistency of the word that Christ was supposed to have spoken. Let's see. In St. John chapter 20, start reading in the first verse. Hold your hat and let's see what we have.
It reads, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre."
Now let's stop here. We only got one Mary. As it says, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the sepulchre when it was still dark, and the tomb was taken away. Go ahead.
"Then she runneth and cometh to Simon, Peter, and the other disciples, whom J.C. loved." And
hold up. What do you mean she ran? Like, she left the place where she just was at? What? Where's the other Mary, first off? Didn't she? What? Every other story had more than one person. Now this one just got Mary Magdalene. And she just saw the tomb was taken, the stone was rolled that way. Now that's interesting. There's only one Mary. Stone is moved away. And then she didn't see an angel. It doesn't say she saw an angel. It doesn't say she saw two men. It doesn't say she saw a guard. It doesn't say she looked inside the tomb and a guy was sitting on the right side. She just saw it rolled away, and she ran away from the place and went to Simon and the others who J.C. loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Hold on. Now, you see, she don't even know what's going on. Because you know why she didn't say, "Oh, it's 3 days and three nights"? Because it wasn't 3 days and three nights. So she worried. Like, where's my man at? Because, you know, Mary Magdalene was married to Christ. And so she wants to know where he at. Because it's not 3 days and three nights. He's gone. And we don't know where they took him. So I guess she didn't believe that he was God. Because who touches the body of God and lives? I mean, you can't even carry the Ark of the Covenant in the wrong way and live, let alone touch the so-called body of God. But he's not there. They don't know where they took him. And verse 3 says, what does that say? Start reading in verse 3.
"Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together."
Hold on. Do we hear what is being said? Peter and another disciple went to the sepulchre? Where is it? Call 323-443-7418. I need a pastor. I need a minister. I need a doctor of divinity. I need a scholar of the New Testament to explain this to us. Peter has never been mentioned in the other books as going to the tomb. Somebody has been lying to you. It's like Peter went out and the other disciple, and they went to the sepulchre. In verse 4, what does that say?
"So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre."
So they were having a foot race. Oh, my God. They're having a foot race. They could document a foot race, but they can't document a great earthquake. They're not documenting an angel descending from heaven with lightning in his face, shiny garments. They're documenting a foot race.
Go ahead.
And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in.
Now, he saw linen clothes lying there. This is new. I mean, all of this is new, but this is some more new stuff. Linen clothes. Nobody else saw linen clothes. Go ahead.
Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and see if the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself.
So they go in and they see clothes lying in a napkin or a handkerchief that was on his head, folded somewhere else. Like he said, I don't need these clothes. Let me put on some different clothes. And he put them down somewhere and left them there. But they see this, but nobody else saw this before. Go ahead.
Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed.
What did he believe? For as yet they did not know the scripture. What you mean they did not know the scripture? He must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of J.C. had lain. What the hell have they tricked us with for these past 400 years? Two angels? We didn't get a record of two angels from Matthew. We just had a great earthquake and an angel descending and guards in fear and a stone rolled back. Mark, they didn't know how to roll the stone back, but all of a sudden it was rolled back and a young man sitting on the right. Luke, the stone was rolled back. Nobody was sitting in there, and out popped two guys telling them that he wasn't there. And John, it's a whole nother story altogether. You got foot races and people trying to get there first, looking in the tomb, looking at folded garments, and then Mary Magdalene, I don't know where the other Mary is. She's not even documented as being there. She's gone, but then you got Mary Magdalene. She stays behind, cries, and then sees two angels sitting in the place. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my master, and I don't know where they have laid him." Now, when she said this, she turned around and saw, oh my goodness. If y'all are reading this, y'all are seeing what is about to be read. So y'all don't think I'm lying. The reader read it. Verse 14, what does it say?
And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw J.C. standing and knew not that it was J.C.
Now, J.C.'s there? Why didn't Matthew, Mark, Luke record this? But he's there.
J.C. said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, says unto him, "Sir,
a gardener?
If thou hast borne him."
A gardener? You see all the different characters they're bringing out? A gardener now. Okay.
Saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." J.C. said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master."
So she looked at, "Oh, you the Christ. Oh, you J.C." And J.C. said unto her, so she, when she saw that, she wanted to run and hug him. And then J.C. said to her,
"Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to."
For I'm not yet ascended to who?
my Father,
and
but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.
My goodness. This has been one of the greatest lies ever spoken in the earth. We have four different accounts of a supposed resurrection of an idol that cannot see, hear, smell, touch, nor taste. And none of them are consistent with each other. The only four books about the Christ of the New Testament cannot give you a straight story about his resurrection. First, the only thing that they can tell you is that he did not rise after 3 days and three nights. So we've proven him to be a liar about his own prophecy. Number one. Number two, if he rose, why can't they tell you what went on when this happened? Why does Matthew have a different story than Mark, who has a different story than Matthew, who has a different story than Luke, who has a different story than John, and they all have different accounts? Now, if I am standing in one place with three other people, and there's an earthquake, and an angel comes down, and guards shake with fear, and a stone is rolled back, and the angel speaks. If we all three see, four of us see this, we should all write, I saw exactly this. Maybe you might have seen a star in the sky on the right side. And maybe I saw a car pass by when it happened. And if I put, while the car was passing, there was a great earthquake and an angel descending and a stone rolled back. You might put, while I was looking at the star, there was a great earthquake and an angel descending and a stone rolled back. The other person might put, I was picking my nose and the earthquake came and the angel descended and the stone rolled back. But we're all going to mention the same exact events. Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John do not do this because they're not speaking the truth, because they weren't there. And if they're talking about Mary and Mary Magdalene, they weren't there either, because they have all spoke four different accounts. So Mark wasn't there, Matthew wasn't there, Luke wasn't there, John wasn't there. Their stories are not corroborating. They're not consistent. They're not telling the same thing. Therefore, if those people weren't there, you know who else wasn't there? The Christ of the New Testament wasn't there. He wasn't there because this is all a lie. It's based on lies. This is nothing but lies. Can somebody show us the truth? 323-443-7418 is the number. Press 1 if you're on the line. And you can tell us how this really happened. But I don't see it. So all you have to do is ask your pastor on Sunday, can you please tell us how many days and how many nights was it when Christ rose? And then ask them, was the Christ in the New Testament, did he rise, and did all the writers of the Gospels have the same story to verify his resurrection? Of course, they won't even let you get your first question out. But if you're able to, you'll see that they will do everything except answer you in the way of truth. If you look in the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 5th verse. What does it say there? Proverbs 14, verse 15.
The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going.
Exactly. And if we want to be prudent, we'll believe no words, but we will look well to our goings and seek out those words that are spoken. And when we see that is the words of Yah, it won't be a problem verifying his truth. But the simple will believe every word. And look in Proverbs 14, verse 5.
A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies.
And that's exactly what we have going on right now. False witnesses uttering lies. Christ has been disqualified as being a prophet, and he's definitely not the Most High, and he's definitely not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, nor forever. He doesn't even last forever, and he definitely didn't rise after 3 days and three nights, and he definitely didn't have a true resurrection because nobody could tell you what happened. He definitely is not the one that has came to die for our sins, because Deuteronomy 24 and 16 says that no man shall be put to death for any man's sin. Every man shall die for his own sin. The fathers cannot be put to death for the son, nor the son put to death for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. So this New Testament is a book of lies, and it is not telling us the truth. If you believe that you have been lied to by your pastors, reverends, preachers, pimps, ministers, that's because you have. And now you have some ammunition to bring to them, and I guarantee you they will not answer the questions. But if they decide they want to understand where you get this information from, tell them to call us at 513-237-5911. And we'll gladly put them to the test and see if they can back up this book. But how can you when it doesn't back its own self up? Now, if you have any comments or questions, and you're on the phone line already, you can press 1, or you can call us at 323-443-7418. We have a caller from a 425 area code. Shalom.
Shalom.
You're there.
Shalom, Lorraine. Shalom, shalom. I have two questions I want to ask you. In Matthew, you know, in John, the last scripture that you read in the letters of John about Mary Magdalene, when she saw Christ, she turned around. The word
yes.
says that there should be two or three witnesses. Yah says that. But if she was alone, where is there proof?
Exactly.
So there's no,
there
proof,
no proof
in that verse right there. It says that she was alone.
Mm-hmm.
She turned around and saw Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
That's
no
right.
proof. So there has to be two or three more witnesses to validate it. And I also want
That's
to
right.
ask you, you didn't go there, but I was wondering, in Leviticus chapter Leviticus chapter 4, verse 32, it talks about the sin offering. Can you go into depth about that? And why in 32 does it say a female without blemish for a sin offering? I don't know.
Leviticus,
you know, I'm just
chapter
thinking.
4, verse 32, you say?
Yes. And then I'll be quiet
right.
for the rest of the evening. So, shalom.
Shalom. Thank you for your call. Yes, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 32, it reads here, if he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish. Then he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill it as a sin offering at the place where they kill the burnt offering. Well, this is letting us know
that when you commit sin and you want to, on your own free will, bring an offering, that it shall be a lamb, an animal, a lamb of the first year. That's what a lamb is, first year of the cattle. Also has to be a female. So what does that happen to make Christ? Well, if they want to make Christ our sacrifice for sin, first off, he was only, or he was 33 years old. He was 33 years old. What does that mean? That means he was well over a year, because a lamb is a yearling, a year-old calf. That's what a lamb is, of the sheep. And so that means Christ was 33, and he wasn't a sheep. He was a person. And the law states that it must be a female. And Christ wasn't a female. He said he was a man. And everything in the book says that he was a man. Christ was a man, a descendant of David, he said. So he definitely doesn't fit the description and the criteria of a sin offering. First off, because he's human, and Yahweh doesn't accept human sacrifices. And how do we know Yahweh doesn't accept human sacrifices? If you go to the book of Leviticus, around the 20th chapter, I believe. Yes, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 1. What does that say there?
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto the deity, he shall surely be put to death. The people
so
of the land shall stone him with stones.
If you give up your descendants to this false idol, you shall be put to death. So Yahweh doesn't accept human sacrifices. How else do we know Yahweh doesn't accept human sacrifices? If you look in the book of Numbers, the 18th chapter, look there in the 4th verse. No,
and
yes,
they shall be
sixth verse. I'm sorry.
The sixth verse. It reads, and I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from amongst the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for Yahweh, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Well, that's therefore, the wrong verse that I wanted. I'm sorry about that. That's the wrong verse I wanted. Read in the 15th verse.
Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto Yah, whether it be of man or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shall you surely redeem, as the firstling
mm-hmm.
of unclean beasts shall you redeem. And those
mm-hmm.
that are to be redeemed from a month old shall you redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shall burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet savour unto Yahweh.
Now that's what Yahweh accepts. He accepts animal sacrifices, but if you wanted to dedicate your child to the Most High, meaning you gave him to be a servant of the Most High into his house, you dedicated him, the priest had to redeem him. And if you gave an unclean beast, they had to redeem that.
They couldn't burn him on the altar. They didn't burn people on the altar of the Almighty, dedicating people to the Most High. So Yahweh never accept human sacrifice. And he surely wouldn't accept a sacrifice for sin of anything but what he said, which is a lamb and a female. So there's the reasoning to why that is like that. Good question, my sister. If anybody else has any questions or comments, the number is 323-443-7418. Or press 1 if you're already on the phone line. And we'll get to your call as soon as there's a line available. So press 1 or call 323-443-7418. As we recap what we spoke about this night, the Christ in the New Testament is said to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we have just saw that he ain't the same from one book to another. He ain't the same from one hour to another. He changes real quickly. We say Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Christ is the same, then why is Christ recorded as saying these words in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, where he says, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law. Come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For every man, for surely I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle, shall not in no wise anything be passed from the law to all fulfilled. Wherefore, if anyone therefore breaks one of these least commandments, he and teaches men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Christ said that he'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven if he breaks any one of these commandments, because the scriptures cannot be broken, as he said. And if they teach men to break these commandments, they will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Christ is called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven by people. But what did he say? If you teach against the commandments, you'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew 5, in verse 39, it says, "But I tell you to resist not evil. But whosoever strikes you on your right cheek, give him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away from you your coat, give him your cloak also. Whosoever compels you to go 1 mile, kidnaps you, go with him twain. Give to him who hates you, and from them who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you." Christ just taught against the law, because Yahweh never told you to accept evil, because the opposite of resisting is accepting. So if you're told to not resist, you're being told to accept. So the Christ in the New Testament taught against the law. He told you to love your enemies, and also told you in Luke to hate your father and your mother. Christ taught against the law, so his own words have indicted him that he is least in the kingdom of heaven. But this coming Sunday, you're going to get up real early and worship the sun in the sky, thinking you're worshiping God that never existed. But it come out of these whorehouses, and don't even enter into them, and don't eat of the sacrifice that they'll have on that day. Don't walk into your grandma's house and start eating the ham and the turkey and the macaroni and cheese just because you want to be around family and this has been sacrificed to their deity. And if you're serving a Yah, it's during the Feast of Unleavened Bread anyway, so you don't need to be eating the good buttery rolls, the macaroni and cheese, and all the good, sweet foods that they're going to have
because they're fermented. And we're not eating anything that has leaven in it. Hallelujah. Going to our caller, 216 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Yes. Shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Look, I got a question for you because, like you said, this resurrection thing is very confusing. But I got a question concerning John chapter 20.
I think
we can agree in the first verse, chapter 20 and 1, that it was the first day of the week, which they considered early Sunday morning. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Every gospel says that it was the first day of the week.
Okay, okay. Now, when they went to the second verse in 20 and 2, they kept saying that there was another disciple. And most people believe that because Jesus loved him, it had to be John. What do you think about that?
Say that again?
In the second verse, 20 and 2, they said there was another disciple, the one who Jesus
yes.
loved. Well, most people believe that that's John. Do you agree with that?
I don't have a position on that. I'm not sure who
okay.
Christ loved.
Yeah, well, it's kind of confusing, and I was looking at that, but they said since it's in the book of John, this is the reason why they say it was probably
mm-hmm.
him who wrote the book. But the final question I wanted to ask was also in 2019, when they had mentioned something about, for yet they did not understand the scripture. That was in verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense because if you look at the Old Testament, well, they spoke of a resurrection of a Messiah actually in Psalm 16 and 10. And for most of us, we know that King David in our eyes. We know that. But what they
yes.
tried to do is Jesus himself, okay?
Yes.
And what they said was Christ himself had told his disciples that he would rise from the dead. And despite this, that the disciples did not understand these predictions. So they say after the resurrection, Jesus opened the minds that they might understand the Old Testament and reveal to them
mm-hmm.
all the scripture that spoke concerning him. So
mm-hmm.
the problem is what they did was switch Christ in front of David, and this is why you got a lot of confusion of what's going on today.
Yes, sir. Yes, everything
yeah.
that they try to attribute to the Christ of the New Testament is actually the children of Israel and King David. If you
That's
look
right.
in the book of Hosea, the sixth chapter, and this is what our people need to understand. There is a resurrection that is spoken of from the mouth of Yah, and
okay.
it is speaking about 3 days. In the book of Hosea, the sixth chapter, in the first verse, I have my reader read Hosea chapter 6, verse 1.
Okay.
Come, and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten,
mm-hmm.
and he will bind us up.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight.
So this is the resurrection of the nation of Israel. It says, come, let us return to Yah, for he has torn us. And he will heal us. He has stricken us. And he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. Now, this is talking about the nation of Israel. It's not talking about the Christ in the New Testament. And this is speaking about the days according to Yah's days. As a day is 1,000 years. Unto Yahweh, that's all how long a day is. So you're dealing with prophecy about the nation and how long it will be until we are raised up from our graves. And where are our graves? Our graves
is in the place in which we reside right now, United Snakes of America. These are our graves. And surely the Almighty Yahweh has begun to revive us, and he will soon raise us up out of this place, and we will return to our nation. And this Christ will be nothing, as he is nothing, but praises be to the mighty Yah. Thank you for your call, my brother. Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah, bro.
Shalom. And our time is running short, and we give all praises and honor and glory unto the Creator, because we see the Almighty doesn't lie. If Yahweh said we will go into a land that our fathers have not known and be afflicted there and serve our enemies for 400 years, and surely that is what is taking place right now. And then he said we will be risen up. Well, surely we will be risen up. But Christ said he's going to rise, and he ain't do nothing but lie. Christ said for 3 days and three nights, he couldn't even sit there for 2 days. Christ is a liar and a deceiver. And he even told you that he deceived you, because he told you he was Lucifer. He told you he was nothing but a stinking old Lucifer. And that's who you're serving. You're serving an idol. You're serving a devil. You're serving a false god who told you that he has a god, told you that he has a father. But people are going to get up on Sunday and they're going to worship this idol. And all we have to do is tell our people and let them know to consider these things that we have teaching. And these things were revealed unto us by one of Yahweh's great prophets, Moray Elisha Yisrael. And we continue to teach these great revelations today, that we know that Yah is one and there is none else. He is the only lawgiver, the only judge, and the only redeemer, and the only savior of Yisrael and the world. So all praises to the mighty Yah. Remember to listen to our live Sabbath broadcast tomorrow, worldgatheringisrael.org. Click on House of Israel, Cincinnati live broadcast. You can also listen to Atlanta from the same website. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. right here on the same station for a class by Moray Elisha Yisrael. And also Sunday, listen to The True Word, 3:30 p.m. by Moray Elkanah. Until next week, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the House of Israel. Shalom. Hallelujah.
Power was given to the Son, from the judge in the earth to the heavens up above. Unto him it must come. If you want to reach the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is three in one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess when it's done. He was here when it begun. That sound like blasphemy. If you listen real close, that sound like blasphemy. All power